Surely God will not do wickedly. Proverbs 34, verses 1 to 15. Just two thoughts. He's just, verse 1 to 9, and he's fair, verse 10 to 15. Matthew Henry observed well. He says, the scope of Elihu's discourse to reconcile Job to his afflictions and to pacify his spirit under them. In order to this, he had known in the foregoing chapter, that's chapter 33, which we have just completed, when God spoke to him concerning how God deals with us fairly, whether he allows pain to come, God speaks to us in our pain, or whether he allows himself to manifest it through the spirit in the conscience of a man, well, God doth speak. And here, the Lord wants us to know, as he continues, this is his second speech, right? Chapter 32, 33 was the first discourse, first speech of Elihu. This is the second in chapter 34. God meant him no hurt in afflicting him, but it intended for his spiritual benefit. And God wants us to know, right, that when he sends affliction our way, when chastisement came, when we feel the pain of bad weather, do not think that God is against us. Do not think that the world is collapsing because the weather is bad. In fact, it could be the opposite. In this chapter, he shows that he did him no wrong in afflicting him, nor punish him more than he deserved. So God is sovereign, and God knows why he's doing what he's doing, although we may not understand, but we can understand it by the way he deals with us. So God wants us to read and see, and we can understand why God is doing this to us. Right? We have the scriptures to speak to us. When we study the scripture, when we read the scripture, we understand how God deals with men. Right? There are countless examples daily. If you take time to understand, to meditate, you'll be able to see how God works, how God speaks his mind to us, and how God, by his works, demonstrate what he's doing in the lives of men. And God wants us to see, and God wants us to learn it. And so the Lord says through Matthew Henry, he commented well, he says that the righteous God never did or nor ever will do any wrong to any of his creatures. But his ways are equal, ours are unequal. So we need to realize, right, we are undone. We need to realize our spiritual poverty. Our trouble is that we think a whole lot of ourselves, and we have an unequal estimate of our own worth, and that God wants to help us so that we would understand and know our humble position before God. And that's so important, isn't it? And God wants us to understand that indeed we are but dust. And this is what we saw in verse 15. Right? God, in the sight of God, indeed we are but dust. And therefore, the Lord wants us to see, right, the justice and equity, the fairness, that's the meaning of the word equity, of his all of God's works, all the things that God does, right? His infinite, eternal, and unchangeable in his justice. Right? He deals with us fairly, and he's perfect and holy. He doesn't, he is neither wrong, he does not wrong himself nor others. And here the Lord wants us to know that as we rely on him. Right? He is indeed the Shaddai. He is the all-sufficient God. And therefore, let no man say, as James would put it for us, when he's tempted, I'm tempted of God. For God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth he any man. So God will not culpable of an unrighteous thing, because God is faithful. And the darkness that we see, you see a just God meeting out his purposes amidst the evil that he allows in this world as a result of men, right, responsible for his own choices, responsible for his own sin, because God has given him a free will to choose to love God. Right? God did not tie us up like a domesticated animal, right, so that you lose your freedom, but God gives you a choice to choose to love him, choice to choose to come for prayer meeting, a choice to choose to do the right thing. He gives us his laws, teaches us, and allows us to, leads us to follow him. And we would experience the goodness of him when we would yield ourselves, right? When we would trust him and we would obey him and we would follow him. You'll find that indeed God is worthy, right, of our following. And this is what Elihu is trying to say to Job, right, who in the midst of his suffering seemed to be crying out for injustice. God, why do you do this to me? Why do you allow all these things to happen to me? Why like this? Why like that? You know. So he was totally discomforted, fretful, not resting. But God wants him to learn how to rest. And Elihu, the man, is sent for us to see, as it were, a post-mortem, right, to help us to learn, help us to be able to understand, see the predicaments that we go through in the light of God's dealing. And his dealing does not change. So as we study scriptures, as we learn how God deals with these things, we learn how it is for us. So he began in verse 9, from verse 1 to 9, that God is just, and Matthew Henry addresses. He says, Elihu humbly addresses himself to the auditors and endeavors like an orator to gain their goodwill and their favorable position. And so he says in verse 2, hear my words, O ye wise men, give ear unto me, ye that have knowledge. So it seemed that now it's not only the three miserable comforters who were there with them, together with Elihu, it seemed that there were others also who are gathering around. And Elihu is appealing, right, that a man who is there would appeal to their good senses, in order to act wisely and to judge correctly, okay, according to God's laws, you see. So you realize that when you study God's word, your thinking, your thought process will be changed. God will teach you how to think, how to address things, how to see the world correctly in truth. Right? And we won't run off wildly in our own imagination, in our depravity, in our, ignorance, but here Elihu seeks to bring us to a truthful, a right response to issues at hand. And so here, he tells them, you wise men, give ear, you that have knowledge to, in a sense that able to assess, right? Elihu, as Matthew Henry said, differed in opinion from them, and yet he calls them wise and knowing. Well, what is he saying? Well, as we said, that the audience of there is a larger audience that is before us. He appeals to their judgment and therefore submits to their trial. And he says, the year of the judicious try words. Right. What is this? Is it true or false? Is it right or wrong? We need to test it. And our thinking must be, in a sense, calibrated. Right. And as we take time to read God's Word, study God's Word, we are calibrated with the truth. Okay. So if your heart, your mind is calibrated with God's law, and that, so when you see the world around you, you would be able to understand and make be able to discern, right, concerning truth and error, right or wrong, right? And there it enables us to follow God correctly. And so here, what is he doing? Well, he speaks concerning Job, right? And his his moments when he reflected, right, that God, in his dealing with him, has been so unjust. God, you afflict me. You afflict me. Have you heard, you know, those who would say, or ourselves, that God, you are unjust because you afflict me. Right? So Elihu is trying to address what Job was feeling, what Job was thinking during these times when he was speaking in this way, as Matthew Henry quoted in Job 27, verse 2. As God liveth, who has taken away my judgment? The Almighty who has vexed my soul. So he says that, God, you are vexing me. Is God vexing him? Right? You realize that God brings us afflictions in order to get our attention, in order to humble us, to help us to know who we are in the sight of God. Right? It's only in our affliction that we realize that, hey, we cannot take a hold of our lives, right? It's only in our affliction when we realize that, hey, yeah, we are nothing. Have you ever thought of that? Or do we think that, you know, we are still something when we are indeed nothing? Well, God wants us to know that, so that as he deals with us, allows us to suffer, we would be able to understand, right, his voice speaking in our conscience through our sufferings. And is God unjust? If God is who he is, then if he afflicts us, then should we still serve him? Should we still serve him if he afflicts us? He's doing me no good. Right? He afflicts me. He causes me pain. The Lord, the Word of God says, spare the rod, spoil the child. Would you spare the rod and spoil the child? Or would you choose to mete out the rod so that the child would be saved? Well, here Job is saying to us through the words of Elihu, through his difficulty, through his pain, through his suffering, that is God unfair? Is God not just? Is God no good? Malachi 3 verse 14 says, "Ye have said, it is vain to serve God, and what profit is it that we have kept his ordinance? Why do we follow God? And that we have walked mournfully before the Lord of hosts." Right? He afflicts us and we are mourning, and yet we are following him. Right? We are following him mournfully. Why so difficult a journey? Well, there is glory in the presence of God, in the humble service, in the presence of God. Right? This morning we were speaking about the Gershonites, the Merarites, how they were the people serving and bearing the burdens. Right? They were carrying the curtains, carrying all the plates that formed the walls of the tabernacle. Great a burden it is, 2,000 over men involved, and they will serve from the age of 30 to 50 years old. So they would give all the useful part of their lives in this service. Right? And this was the economy of God, you see. Each one God assigns and gives a role, and he rewards us according to our faithfulness. And we contrast it with the time of the judges, how Israel will not let God lead them. They wanted to do their own things. They wanted to go their own way. They would not be under God. They would rather build their own silted houses, right? And they would realize that, you know, their pocket has holes. And how is it that God is not prospering them spiritually? Why is it like that? Well, because they have not followed God wholeheartedly. They have trampled upon his laws. They have chosen to pay God a lip service. And that is what happened to the people of Israel. You see, when they came out of Egypt, they were slaves. And as slaves, right, as slaves, you understand where you have come from. And you would be willing to serve and be willing to do the right thing. But as time goes by, when they were in the land, right, you realize that they begin to deviate and choose not to follow the God who leads them. Right? Israel was a theocracy. God rules. God's law was trampled upon. God's law was not followed at all. And it grew worse and worse. And by the time we reach the last book of the Old Testament, the book of Malachi, that's recorded in our English Bible, here it's recorded, "Ye have said, it is vain to serve God. And what profit is this that we have kept his ordinance, and what we have walked mournfully before the Lord of hosts?" God, I follow you, you must do me good. In other words, you must do as I think would be good for me. That is how you are to be assessed. That is how you are to do what is right in your own sight. Right? And it's sad. Right? Why is it like that? Well, it's very simple. Right? Because we choose not to follow the Lord. Choose not to obey the Lord. And that's sad. And that's the people of Israel. Right? But for Job, when God allowed them this affliction, he was not Right? He's speaking to him, right? Letting him know that God can deal with us, right? Work with us however he would like us to do. And that's important. And we need to realize, right, that and submit, right, to his will, to his ways. And he would be gracious, right, to his own. God is never unfair, and the Lord wants us to understand, right? And Job, who has despaired, right, he has this, we said that he felt that, you know, his hurt was so great, that his wound was incurable, right, that he has reached an end of his journey following God. But more and more, as he looks deep into his affliction, more and more he sees light in his soul. More and more he sees strength in his heart as he clings on to God even more in his affliction. Right? Just as we saw last week, we mentioned about the man who was made blind. Right? It was his blindness that God spoke to him, although life was hard, in the sense that, you know, there was no more physical light for him to see, but there was light in his heart. And that light was what that really matters. And God wants us to know, right, it is that light, right, the light that shineth in the heart of man. Right, as John writes in John chapter 1, right, that's the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the light that shineth. And if you know him, he is the Savior, the Sustainer, the Creator, the Maker. If we know him, well, there is much good for our souls. And can he be charged with injustice? No, he cannot. And so the Lord wants us to realize that we are to come before him, right, in humility, and realize that we are sinners. Realize that we are sinners. He shall spare, Psalm 72 verse 13 and 14 says, the poor and needy, and shall save the souls of the needy. He shall redeem their soul from deceit and violence, and precious shall their blood be in his own sight. So God is good. God will, God is just, and he is also fair. Right? Verse 10 to 15. God wants us to know. Right? Verse 10 of our text says, therefore hearken unto me, ye men of understanding. Far be it from God that ye should do wickedness, and from the Almighty that he should commit iniquity. For the work of a man shall render unto him, and cause every man to find according to his ways. So here it is God that says, surely God will not do wickedly, neither will the Almighty pervert justice. Right, it's so important that God wants us to see and learn, right, that he is good, right, God is good, and we understand the character of God correctly, and it's so important, right, that when we understand his character correctly, that we will love him, that we would serve him, we will follow him. We are willing, like the Gershonites, the Merarites, right, to give themselves, so they have to carry heavy burdens, you know, carry the plates, the curtains, all the various items, and day in, day out, that's their work. Of course, their rest will be when they have set up the camp, right? Then those will be the time that they will rest. But when the cloud moves up, straight away they would have to quickly, and everyone knows their role. everyone knows their duty. Right? And so God wants us to know and understand our place, where we belong, what are we to do. And we all know, and God wants us to do that which is that is our place. And then there would be peace and there will be goodwill. Right? Why? Because God wants to do us good. And He wants us to yield to Him so that we would receive, right, the good that that He has meant it for us. Romans 3 verse 5 and 6 says, "But if our unrighteousness commend the righteousness of God, what shall we say? Is God unrighteous who taketh vengeance? I speak as a man, God forbid. For then how shall God judge the world? If God is not fair, God would charge us unfairly. Then He has this universe to govern, you know. How would there be true justice? Well, in this world, in the sight of man without God and His word, there is chaos, right? Chaos. Right? Just as we know, this recent years, there is this movement, right, to change the family structure, to say that the family is not consists of the husband and the wife, right, but two men and two women. How can it be? But why is it that men would agree and go along with such perverted understanding of life? And we charge God unfair when we choose to go on our own destruction. Well, I think it is not good. And God wants us to realize and know. And as we follow Him, as we allow Him to lead us, as we choose to do His will, you realize that God is very fair, He's good, and there's no charge against Him. Whether you are, whatever circumstances that you are experiencing in your life. So what does it say to us after all this study? Well, we must take time for reflection. We must take time to think. Right? What has gone on in our lives? And reflect it according to law, God's law, right? God's will, God's good purpose. And when we understand it, and then when we would be led along, right, to walk in the path of righteousness, the path of blessing, then you would find that, wow, it's so good, isn't it? So good. We all want to walk in that path. And I pray that the Lord would guide us and lead us as we take time to know Him and understand the mind of God, understand the will of God. Indeed, God will bless us by His grace. Let us pray. Father, we thank Thee for Thy grace. Strengthen us by Thy presence, and grant to us Thy very word to cause us to learn how good it is to walk in obedience and faith. Strengthen Thy people. This I pray with thanksgiving in Jesus' name.